Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach has a number of topics in it. We're going to touch maybe two or three. Unfortunately, we're not going to get into the Shira at all. Or Chaim's commentary on the Shira spans many pages, just in my little booklet here. So in the interest of time, we're not going to touch it. So we're going to open with just a very opening passage in the Parsha, and that is, Vayhi B'Shalach Paro Esa'am, V'lonacham Elohim, on page 366 of the Chumash, V'lonacham Elohim Derech Eretz Plishtim Ki Karovu, Ki Amar Elohim Pen Yenochem Ha'am B'Rosam Elchama V'Shavu Mitzrayma. Okay, so our scroll's translation. It happened when Paro sent out the people that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, because it was near, for God said, perhaps the people will reconsider when they see a war, and they will return to Egypt. Now, I think we explored this question last year. I don't remember that the answer that we gave, but it's just a very simple question. Vayhi b'shalach paro es ha'am. When Paro sent out the nation, hold on a second, who sent out the nation? Right, what are we going to read next week? Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzisichem eretz Yisrael. Right? I mean, God's the one who took him out. So what do you mean b'shalach paro es ha'am? B'shalach paro es ha'am. So I'm trying to remember if it was last year. I think it was last year. Maybe it was last year or 2 years ago. No, I think it may have been last summer. I gave a class actually in a shul in Shboka. I think it was Century Village. I gave a class about how you look at Perek Chaf in Bamidbar, and that's the story of Mimrivo and the people are complaining to Moshe. And there's a distinction there in terms of the way the people are presented. You have Ha'am, you have Ha'eda, and you have Kehal Hashem. Okay, and that opens a door to a totally different understanding than what we may have ever thought about how to understand the Mimrivo story. But it's that key ingredient about what does Ha'am mean, and what does Ha'eda, and what does Kehal Hashem. What does that mean? That is the key to understanding this pasuk in the commentary of the Orach Chaim. Vayhi b'shalach paro es ha'am. Who is ha'am? It doesn't say b'shalach paro es b'nei Israel. It says b'shalach paro es ha'am. So let's take a look at the Orach Chaim. Because his first question is, what's vayhi? Right? We have vayhi, right? Moshe Tzar. Right? Isn't this an amazing thing, right? The Jews are leaving Egypt. It should be something which is celebrated. Vayhi is Lashon Tzar. It's Tzarech L'das Lamar Amar Lashon Tzar, Makom Gila V'Ranan, right? Or however you pronounce that word. This should be, we're dancing in the streets, or we're dancing on the road out of Egypt. So why did it say Vayhi, which usually indicates that something negative is going on here? Od Lama Kino in Yom B'Faro V'lo B'Adon Amasin. And why is Paro being given the credit here, and not the master of all creation? Ki Hu Amotzi Osanu Mi'Eretz Yitzrayim. Right, God takes it out. Achena kasuv yagid asibah shegarma kol atzar shenitzar lishro b'difas paro. So what the Torah is doing is it's giving like a little bit of a premonition to all the suffering that is going to come onto Israel through Paro's giving chase. Now, one thing has to be made clear, that we don't know why Paro gives chase. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you just read the Pesukim, you have no idea why Paro gives chase. He says, the people say, what?
He hardens his heart, Hashem.
Fine. Okay, but we don't know what Paro's goal is. Paro, right? The people say, "Mazos asinu kishilachnu es Yisrael miavdenu." They say, "Oh, what did we do?" It's not Paro talking; that's the people, right? Well, what did we do by sending Israel miavdenu away from serving us? Okay. So he saddles the horses, whatever the chariots, and they go. What's their goal? We don't know. The Torah doesn't say, and that's part of the whole issue, which is discussed. Some of the other commentaries that talk about how when the B'nai Israel turned to Moshe, I don't even remember, maybe I didn't get this far, but there are several different groups who address Moshe, some of whom actually don't talk, they just like turn to pray, some of whom say, hey, let's go back to Egypt, some of whom say, hey, why'd you take us out, right?
There's like Medrash,
four different groups. Anyway, so he says, Achein akos yagid asibah shekorma kol tzar shesto, okay, we do this, but we amar. Teida sibas hadavar letzad shlo hotzi Hashem es Yisrael el ritzono shel paro. Okay, so the first thing he says you should know that God did not take the B'nai Israel out el ritzono shel paro. Okay, so in other words, whoever's going to say that kafa oso ashen esratzeh b'shilcham, right? So that God forced him until he agreed and sent him out. V'yamar lahem kumutzu umizeh. Okay, and when Paro said get up and get out of here. Says that when Paro did that, he had plans to chase after them. Uvezeg garam tzar Yisrael. So there seems to be a conspiracy theory, Right? That the whole reason why Paro sent them out was to chase them. Really? Really? Does that make any sense? V'gamli atzmo garam ibud lo ulumaso. So, in through doing that, he also caused destruction to himself and to his nation. V'tzeilamat. Tzeilamat. Go understand. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yakpid al kil yonah nivraim kemuvah b'divrayhem. Masa yodai tovim b'yam atem arim shira. He says, you think that God rejoices in the destruction of those who he created? Right, remember what God tells Yonah at the end of the book of Yonah? He says, Yonah, you didn't want to come to Nineveh because you would have preferred for them all to die? Hold on a second. They're my creatures. Okay, there's no rejoicing over the death of my Maaseh Maaseh Yodai, those who I created. And of course that passage from the Gemara Megillah is what God says to the angels. Notice how God never says that to the Bnei Yisrael. What do the Bnei Yisrael say after Kriyas Yamsuf? Shira, right? Yeah. And God never says, no, stay still, be quiet. What? Because there's a difference. What are the angels doing? Yay, you're killing them. What are the Bnei Yisrael doing? Yay, we've been saved. Yeah. Right. Totally different. Okay, anyway, Ukeneged calls out Markas of Vayhi Lashon Tzar. So with all this background, we have the word Vayhi. Migaram called Tsar Ze Bishalach Paro. Okay, so what caused the Tsar? Bishalach Paro. So again, we still haven't answered the real question though. Why? The real question is, who did Paro send? Shem Haya Hashem Motziyim. Shelo Lur Tzono. If God was really sending them out against his will, Agam Shaloya Chafetz L'Shalcham, Loya Lomakom Lirdof. In other words, if this is all God's doing, then how would Paro be given even an opening, a window, of any way to give chase? Ella eino atoso. Rather, whoever says all this, his eye has misled him. Shaya davar tolui bo. L'zeh chashav l'shuv l'kachtam. Because whoever thinks that, his eye has misled him, thinking that it's all tolui bo, meaning in Paro. L'zeh chashav l'shuv l'kachtam, and that's the reason why he wants to go back. So we haven't really gotten to the answer yet. Okay, so there's an element of suffering and pain here in this whole story. What's the element of suffering and pain? What's coming? What's coming is that the shlichus, Paro sending people out, causes, on the one hand, tsar to the Bnei Israel. What's the tsar? It's just an emotional tsar. And tsar to Mitzrayim, because of what's going to end up happening to them physically. Okay, so that's really the first answer. But he goes further. Odir tzal derech omram zal in the Zohar. He says that there's another added element. Ki kol makom sheyichanei Yisrael b'shem am, yirmoz al eruv rav. Okay, when you hear the word am, with reference to the Bnei Yisrael, you have to think of the eruv rav. Okay, and now this whole thing becomes very differently clear. Sometimes they're going to be referred to as the Am, and sometimes they're referred to as Bnei Israel. V'chamushim alu Bnei Israel. Okay, whatever chamushim means, whether it's a fifth, whether it's that they're armed. Okay, harizemare be'etzba ki ha'am lo mibnei Israel heima. When you see bishalach paro es ha'am, that's not referring to the Bnei Israel. The Or HaChaim says, rather, who's it referring to? Amuzal. When the rabbis say that Paro's intent in sending them out was to destroy the Bnei Israel in the Midbar, these are the ones who say, let's go back and return to Egypt. These are the guys who say, make for us a god. Right? That's at the Eichel story. V'zehu omro v'hitzar gadol l'sonehem shal Yisrael b'shalach Paro es ha'am. Right, that there was a tremendous tsar to the enemies of Israel when Paro sent out the nation. Perush, who's the nation? The Erev Rav. Sheshalcham Paro. Loya Baruch Hu Otziyem. God did not take those guys out. Ki lo bo alim l'kachas lo l'goy gadol. Nachlaso yisbarach. El Paro Shalchem. Who did God take out of Egypt? Bnei Israel. Who did Paro send out of Egypt with them? The Erev Rav. And what's the reason for sending out the Erev Rav? V'tamo haya l'chufas Yisrael l'shuv Mitzrayim. He was basically putting in what you call a mole, but like a big mole, right? What's the big mole? Hey guys, this is not a good place to be. Who's Moshe? Who's Aaron? Blah, blah, blah. We don't want to be here. Where do we want to be? Egypt. That's where everything was great. That's where you had all the fruit. That's where you had all the vegetables. That's where you had the fish. That's where, right? All that stuff. That's the Eir of Rav.
Wow.
And they found a way to kind of cling to Israel. And the Eir of Rav is the cause of all the suffering that the Bnei Israel have in the desert. Kikarovu. Right, what is Velonacham Elohim? Velonacham Elohim, the article translates it, Velonacham Elohim, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. But he says there are different ways to understand what the word Velonacham means. Kikarovu, Perish Karovu, Lermoz Ha'am, Mikarov Ba, Ve'en Lechozik Bedusha, Bekdusha. That what's the first Kikarovu? To tell the people, right, to hint to the people, actually, mikruvba. I'm not sure how to translate that word. Mikruvba ve'ein lechozik b'dusha. But in other words, the word karov here is meant to show the people somehow that they don't have any way to cling to kedusha and holiness. O karovu, maybe karovu means leharshia, to have them turn towards wickedness or evil. V'sovev ra gam liYisrael, and that badness will come back to Israel. V'harahi ki amar. Pen Yinachem Birosam. What is Pen Yinachem Ha'am Birosam Milchama? That maybe the people, will reconsider when they see war. When you add the letter Vav, Betchilas Anyan Lomar Kizenosav Al Kamat Tzar Shagar Mulahem. Right. If you look at the pasuk, go back to the pasuk. Vayibeshalach Paro Es Ha'am Vilo Nacham Elohim. What do you mean Vilo Nacham Elohim? What's the Vav? It should say, V means, and something else happened beforehand. Because V means and. He says, the V is in addition to the Vayihi B'Shalach, the Vayihi, the negativity, which comes from Paro sending out the nation. Who's the nation? The Eir of Rav. So first, B'Shalach Paro Esa'am, the nation. It's another thing that didn't go well. That God didn't want to put them through the land of the Plishtim. Okay, so the key here is that we're understanding is that the Torah is already telling us that something nefarious is in the works. And the nefarious is coming from the Eir of Rav, who are meant to be a thorn in the side of Moshe and the Bnei Israel from the very beginning. And it's indicated right here, B'Shalach Paro, that Paro is doing some sending. What's sending? He's sending Esa'am. He's sending the people. And who are those people? The Eir of Rav. Okay? So now, that's just that's the beginning. Okay? Now, when we move on to the next page in the Chumash, turn the page, 368. Yidaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Yidaber Bnei Yisrael V'yashuvu, Yachanu L'fnei Piach Yiroz Bein Migdol Ben Ayam, L'fnei Baal Tzifon L'chot Sachanu Al Ayam. Okay? Now, has Paro given chase yet? No. What is the Pasuk here telling us? Moshe is told by God, tell the Bnei Yisrael V'yashuvu, that they shall turn back and camp at Piach Yiroz between Migdol and the Yam. Okay? Opposite Baal Tzfon, Nechos HaChanu Al Yam. Where are they? Are they still in Egypt?
I would say yes.
Yeah, they're still in Egypt. Okay? That's why? Because we Amar Paro of Israel, Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz.
In the land.
Right, they're still in the land. What's the land?
Land of Egypt.
Land of Egypt, okay? Sagar Le'Mabar, they're kind of lost. So God says, I'm going to strengthen Paro's heart, and he's going to give chase. Okay, so there you have Ha'ab. What's the Aruch Chaim going to say? Who escaped? Who barach? Right, the Eir of Rav. Eir of Rav, they barach. And so, levav paro v'avadav paro, his heart and his servants went El Ha'am. Again, who's the Am?
So
the Eir of Rav. And they also say, what do we do that we sent Bnei Israel Me'avdenu? Not Bnei Israel, but we sent Israel Me'avdenu. Okay, so in other words, what's the point? Moshe, there are two parallel missions going on here. We know the truth, okay, that Bnei Israel, they're not coming back, right? But at what point are they not coming back? At what point are they not coming back? In other words, has it really been decided that they've left and they're not coming back? Remember,
third day already.
Hold on. Third day, but what were they supposed to do? Neil Chashloshis Yamim Bamidbar. Bamidbar. What does Bamidbar mean? Not
outside,
in Egypt. If they're still in Egypt, they haven't left Egypt yet. They're not having left Egypt, right? They're lost. That's what Paro, that's the impression that Paro's getting. Right. They haven't left Egypt yet. And so therefore, the three-day count hasn't really started yet. They have to get to a point where they actually leave Egypt, and they can go then on their three-day journey, and then do what they're supposed to do in terms of serving God. Okay, now, so it could be, honestly, you know, we don't get a complete picture of this. It could be that until this moment, there really are technically supposed to return, but they haven't left Egypt yet. They haven't gone on their three-day journey yet. Okay, we don't even know what a three-day journey means. Does it mean 3 days of walking from having crossed the border? Or does it mean what should take 3 days if you're walking alone, but the fact is you've got millions of people? Right? Is it a three-day journey by distance or a three-day journey by time? If it's a three-day journey by time, then it's only 3 days. If it's a three-day journey by distance, now we don't know where Sinai is, but if Sinai is in what we call the Sinai Desert now, okay, it's a three-day journey probably by distance, in which case, yeah, it's going to take them a little bit of time. We know how long it takes them. It takes them another 5 weeks to get there from the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, right, to get to Sinai, right? By Yom HaZeh Ba'o Midbar Sinai, right, they get to Sinai at the beginning of the third month, Sivan. Okay, that's the standard interpretation. There's some fascinating stuff I've read about when Matan Torah took place, not at the beginning of Sivan. Okay, anyway, we'll leave that for now. We're not going to get into that. In any case, so that's a three-day journey. So what has happened? If it's in fact true that Paro sent the Erev Rav, and the Erev Rav is a mole, and the mole is supposed to convince the Bnei Israel, hey guys, time to go back. Well, what has happened? They haven't come back. Right? It's been a few days. 3 days, what does 3 days mean? That's unclear information, right? We don't know completely. But they haven't come back, and they're stuck there, and they're at the sea. So Paro's saying, wait a second, Baruch Ha'am, guess what? The Erev Rav, you know, what was Egypt? Was Egypt like a capitalist society? Was Egypt, what was it more comparable to?
Turkey.
The United States,
Turkey,
right? Some other places in Europe, China, Communist Russia.
It's a dictatorship.
Okay, it's a dictatorship.
Right.
Can people leave?
No.
Right?
No.
Okay. If the Erev Rav were Paro's guys, and they, you know, but now that they've had the opportunity to leave, they have defected. They've gone out of the Iron Curtain.
But Paro let them. Paro allowed them.
He let them because they were supposed to bring them back. But now that they're gone, wait a second, hold on, I lost some of my my greatest agents. My agents, my slaves, you know, so this is a...
They became
okay.
Double agents.
Right, okay.
Is this Arachaim's idea? He's going through it with this train of thought?
Well, I mean, I'm giving you more of a background in order to just understand what's going on here. Okay, so now let's take a look at what he says. Okay? So we're now in... Why does it have to come to this all like this trickery to try to make it that Pharaoh figures out, give chase? Like, in other words, it sounds like there's too much of a conspiracy going on over here. Okay, if the whole goal is to let Pharaoh, you know, to get Pharaoh to the sea, and that is the goal, right? Because remember, when did the Bnei Israel leave Berchush Gadol?
After Yamsuf.
At the Exodus or after Yamsuf?
After Yamsuf.
That's Yitzu. When do they know that they're not going back? Vayosha Hashem bayom ahu es Yisrael b'yad Mitzrayim. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim. Meis al Sfas Hayam. When Egypt is dead at the edge of the sea, Bnei Israel, they can have all the thoughts we want. Oh, we should go back, we should go back, we should go back, we should go back. The fact of the matter is, what are you going to go back to? Your masters are all dead. You just saw them. Meis al Sfas Hayam. There's nothing to go back to. Remember when they left. V'yishalu, isha me'ish rusa, isha me'ish renta, right? You have to, what is v'yishalu? So one definition of v'yishalu is to borrow. What's the whole, we're going to go serve our God and we come back, we'll give it back to you. Oh, by all means, take it, no problem. Now, I mean, there are other interpretations of Vayishalu. Vayishalu means that they ask. Vayishalu means that they get paid for years of free work, free labor. Okay. Anyway. Right? What's the whole point of God's ways? That Yisrael should come out righteous. Leval yikashlu ba'achasa leborei. V'yomru divrei niutz. Right? We don't want the Bnei Yisrael to get God angry through using words of subterfuge. Shamru achakach amabliyin kvarim. Right? What are these guys going to say? Were there no graves in Egypt? Hello, you have to look at all. This is a bunch of quotes that he says. When the Bnei Yisrael turn to Moshe, when they see Paro's chasing, it's on page 370. By Yomru al Moshe. So, by the way, if you want to see where the four different groups are, Yisu Bnei Yisrael was describing. I'm on page 370. So I paused for a second. By Yira Umaod, they're afraid. By Yitzaku Bnei Yisrael el Hashem. So that's one group that cry out to God. By Yomru, who's these guys who say to Moshe, right? The ones who are crying out to God, they're in the corner saying Shemoneh Esrei. By Yomru al Moshe, Mabliyein Kvarim Mitzrayim L'Kachton L'Mus B'Midbar, where there are no graves in Egypt, you took us to die in the desert. Ma'azos Osisalon L'Otzion Mitzrayim. What were you doing here, taking us out of Egypt? Hello, Zad Abar Shad Barnei Lecha Mitzrayim L'Mor. We told you in Egypt, Chadali Menav Nadas Mitzrayim. It's better to serve Egypt. Ki Tovlanu Avodas Mitzrayim Min Musenu B'Midbar. Okay, because it's better for us to serve Egypt than to die in the desert. Now, hold on a second. Those are two different ideas there. One is, we could have died in Egypt. That would have been better. Another one is, we should be serving Egypt. That's another one. And Moshe says, Al tira us yatzvur u'es yishuas Hashem, ki asher yisem esetraim ayomos esetiv l'rosem oro adalom. Okay, so anyway, the point is that, I think it is the Midrash, you're probably right, that there are four groups here. I was able to bring out at least three. Because I didn't look at the Midrash again, but you see here a bunch of different complaints, and that's what the Or HaChaim is referencing here when he says, right, this is what we told you, Tov lanu avodas Mitzrayim, better to serve Egypt. So what's going on here? They set. We don't want there to be divrei niyutz. What's niyutz? Some kind of rebellious language where they're saying it would have been better to be in Egypt. So what did Hashem do? He made it that Hashem ya'atz al paro ra'am mischakeim elav lotziyom mitzrayim. God made it that Paro comes out of Egypt to chase after them. For what's the point? Umeata ein makom Yisrael lachush leparo. Right, they should not have any appreciation to Paro anymore that he may have been the cause for their leaving. That what they should now begin to see is that he is looking to take revenge. What revenge? That they left. There was no time for them to even get this message. Right, Moshe is told this. Tell this to the Bnei Israel, and by the time he gets to tell them, guess what already happens? Paro's right behind them. So when they see him, what are they going to do? They're going to make a whole bunch of noise, and they're going to want to go back. Right? Why? Because that's their slave mentality. Right? The big progenitor of the idea of the slave mentality is the Ibn Ezra. So what did God do? God put them into a place and in a position where when they return, in other words, they turn back around and they head their way back into Egypt, right? They were on their way out and they head their way back into Egypt. What this does is it opens the door for Paro to give chase. And this is going to give them the impression, ki heim heim osim hachana v'hargasha rusha shechazru l'achrayam. So in other words, he says that it's going to give them the chance to realize that God is running the show here. Paro is going to give chase. We know exactly. We know that Paro is going to give chase. Why? Because we're stuck in a situation. So yeah, they'll have a little bit of nervousness. But what's going to happen as a result is they're going to see so clearly the hand of God. But we see what happened. It didn't work completely. That the people, in other words, don't feel any fear. So he says you really have to understand what it is that they're feeling. So now we need to understand. So now we're getting a sense of what Bnei Israel are going to be going through. But now we need to understand Paro. So we saw the pasuk before. So we're going to continue in the Arachaim here. Right? So the king hears, king of Egypt. Barach means that they escaped, that they ran away, they fled. V'lo amar ki al amin hei, yeah, in the Orchaim. V'lo amar ki halach. Okay, it doesn't say that they left or that they walked. Barach means to escape, to flee. Sheyira sherobem siman brecha. Where does he get this idea that they escaped? Od kasha, another thing. Omro vayefech. It says that Paro's heart changed. It sounds like they're having regret over the fact that they let them go. It makes no sense. What do you mean? What are you talking about? You had plagues against you. So you want to say maybe that? What do you mean? It was against your will that you sent them out? So you wanted them to leave, right? I mean, it even says in last week's parsha, mm-hmm. You were trying to get them out as quickly as possible. V'kasha odom ram mazos asinu ki misramim al atzmam al asos davar shaloka hogan. Like they sound like, oh, we didn't agree with this idea that we had to send them out. What are you talking about? Halalu asu el bal karcham umayisonin adam al davar shasu bal karcham. I mean, I'm not, when he says Baal Korcham, I'm not sure if he's referring to the Egyptians or if he's referring to the way that they sent out Israel, sending them out like in such speedy haste. I mean, probably referring to Egypt. But again, it's confusing simply because, was it against your will or did you say that you wanted it? Because the conclusion that one could come to is that they're having regrets over the way that it all went about. But the whole point of all the Makos was that you're going to be convinced that it's time to let the Bnei Yisrael go, and that you're going to do it not against your will, that you're going to want them to leave. Okay, so I am a little confused by his use of the Baal Korcham, but I think it doesn't take away from the general message that he's going to say here. Okay, Ve'ef Shalamar Al Derech Ma'amaram. So he goes back to the idea we saw before. Ki Ha'am Erev Rav. So based on the premise that the Am is Erev Rav, Kmo Shekasavnu B'Tchilas Haparsha Perush HaKasuv Kach, you got the Melech Matzam Ki Barachah Perush HaMashah Shalachu Am Yisrael Latam Nachon Etzlo Lashiv Bnei Yisrael. Right, that the whole point that Paro sent the Erev Rav along with them to get them to make it Bnei Yisrael. Hain Ata Baruchu. Who's the Hain? The Erev Rav. Those guys, they ran away. V'holchu Lahem, and they're gone. Ule Elu Yitaches Habricha. Right? If not for the fact that Paro's agents escaped, Paro wouldn't be giving chase. He wants to get those guys back. Okay, what gave you the right to leave? I let these Bnei Yisrael leave, but you guys? What's Paro's reason for giving chase? To get his Egyptians back. But then they say, what's this that we've done, that we sent Israel out? That's a different regret. Perush timuhim al ma'asehim sheshalchu ha'am. That they are flabbergasted or lost, or they have these questions over the fact that they sent the Am. What's the Am? So again, it's the Erev Rav. Tamat mi kishilachnu es Yisrael mi'avdeinu. She says, what is it that they're upset when they say that we sent out Israel from serving us? They're upset really that they sent out the Erev Rav with them. But look how he describes this based on the Yalkut Reish Ches. So I'm assuming that means number 208. Ki Paro Kasav get Shikru Israel. Paro wrote an emancipation proclamation. Paro said, you guys, you're on your own, you're free. And so that's what they're saying. Ki shilachnu es Yisrael. We sent Bnei Yisrael out. Shilachnu means with a get shluchim, right? We sent them out. They're no longer avadim. They're no longer servants, slaves. So how could they think that they're going to bring them back to be servants when they gave them a get shechrur? They said, yeah, you're emancipated. And so therefore, the work which is needed for the king is supposed to be on whom?
The Am.
Who's the Am?
Erav.
Guess who's going to be the new slaves? Umiata, Kevan Shebarach Am. Miavot. Since the Am, they have violated parole, right? Who's going to do the service? Gam Bezeramas, Lama Lochashu Abrechas Am. They're saying, oh man, why did we not think that if Israel's not coming and the Erev Rav doesn't convince Israel to return, that the Erev Rav will not return on their own? It's obvious, right? How did you not think of that? One second. Because the Erev Rav are going to realize, wait a second, if we're not convincing Bnei Israel to go back, so what happens if we go back? Guess who we become?
Slaves.
The Bnei Israel, right? Well, Bnei Israel were. We got to fill in the void. And when they realized that Erev Rav says, hold on, there's nothing better for us in Egypt, that is why Egypt gave chase, because there was a void in their economy. And so Paro is giving chase, not to chase Bnei Israel, but to chase the Erev Rav. So they chase after the Bnei Israel, but not only against the Am. Why? So, in other words, why do Bnei Israel get frightened? Because, like I said at the outset, they simply don't know. They turn around, they see Paro chasing. Okay? Let's say the Aruch Chaim is right. They're only chasing after the Erev Rav. But you see the Bnei Israel, and what are they going to do? They're going to say, oh my God, why is he chasing us? Right, you know, some of them will be like, oh, there's the master, go ahead, take us back. Take us back in chains. Some will say, Moshe, it's your fault. Some will say, let's pray to God. Some will say, hey, let's be the Nachshon Ben Aminadav, who's not mentioned in the text, but okay, but Nachshon, right, let's go into the sea. So, but they don't know. They don't know what Paro's thinking. They don't know if Paro's looking to arrest, if Paro's looking to kill, is Paro looking to push into the sea, is Paro, they just don't know. And so, this is the source of all of their confusion, and why the narrative and the story follows in the way that it does, because the Bnei Israel don't know. Yeah, Abe.
I have a couple of questions about this parsha.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we know that as far as the plague of darkness, we know that anybody who didn't want to leave, all the Jews didn't want to leave, Mitzrayim, were pretty much killed.
So that's an interpretation. That's the Chamushim idea.
So,
the fifth, yeah.
Some say it's even actually larger than the Holocaust.
Right, okay, in the Chanam, yeah.
Or fifth, etc., etc.
Right.
Dustin and Aviram,
mm-hmm.
they didn't want to leave. Why did they get
out? So we don't know that. That's the Cecil B. DeMille version of the Edward G. Robinson version. Dustin and Aviram don't appear until the Book of Bamidbar. They don't appear on the scene until the Book of Bamidbar. They're ascribed as being a bunch of guys, you know, by the Midrashim, by the commentaries, but they don't appear in the text until the Book of Bamidbar.
Well, we know they snitched on Moshe.
Okay, again, we don't know. They're ascribed as being those guys.
Right.
We don't know. Well, again, they don't appear in the Chumash until the Book of Bamidbar. Mm. I mean, their names are mentioned because they're from Reuven. So Reuven's family, I think they're mentioned at the beginning of Parshas Va'era. If Chanoch Banu Chatzron Chami, so I don't remember if they're, are they mentioned there?
Yeah.
They are. So they are mentioned there. But in terms of there being the thorn in Moshe's side, that doesn't appear until Parshas Korach.
Also, we know as far as the splitting of the sea, really what split the sea, my understanding, maybe I'm wrong, is Yosef.
Okay, so there's a lot. There's a lot about that.
Wasn't
right. Listen, you know. Hayam Ra'av Ayanos. What did it see? So did it see Egypt? Did it see Yosef? Did it see Nachshon Ben Aminadab? Did it see the whole tribe that
That's
went in?
That's one of my questions. Yes. Like, why Yosef? Why not Nachshon?
Okay, we don't know. All the things that you're asking, that's what gives rabbis a salary. Okay, the fact that there are so many interpretations and that we can make drushes out of all of them, you know, that's fair enough. When it comes to all these kinds of questions, this is what, by the way, the Midrash series that I'm giving on Thursday morning is exactly this point, that we can argue from today until doomsday about Pshat and about what exactly happened. Okay, the fact is, there are so many interpretations. The fact is, there are so many, you know, good Pshat, right? But in the end of the day, if you accept that this story is real, and I think that from Jews certainly do, then there's only one thing that could have happened. Could there have been a number of instigators for the sea to actually split? Of course. But can I pinpoint one and say this one more than the other? Or can I say, look, it could be everything. you know?
Yeah, another question.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this one. As far as the hail, pretty much killed all the animals.
No, that's not. It killed the animals that were outdoors.
Oh, so the question was,
where'd all the horses come from?
Chariots plus.
They had to have been indoors.
They had to have been indoors.
They had to have been indoors. They had to have been indoors. Okay, yeah.
I understand your Rechayim, but why does he have to go so far? Why can't you just say, okay, we sent out the Erev Rav, they're supposed to be our walls, and Paro figures out, hey, wait a minute, they're not coming back. So why is it that why can't you just say at that point, Paro says, wait a minute, I want to get all the Jews back, and the Erev Rav ain't working for me, so now I got to go chase down all the Jews. I mean, isn't that the simpler way of understanding?
No, again, he's not even ascribing a motivation to Paro with respect to the Bnei Israel. What he just said is that he gave him a shtar shichrur. You're free to go.
Right, but that was under duress. I mean, Paro was.
So that's one view. There's
it was about
comfort. No, I understand. But, you know, but you can't look. The whole concept of Vayechazek Hashem as slave Paro. Okay, I really had a whole change of thinking about this when Rabbi David Foreman, I first heard him give it in a shir, and then he later put it in Aleph Beta, where he says that what Vayechazek Hashem means, as Lev Paro, means that Hashem gave Paro the strength to continue. Why? Because if Paro lets them go because he says, uncle, because, you know, I can't take this one, uncle, I give up, then God doesn't win. What needed to happen is V'yadu Mitzrayim K'ani Hashem. If Paro is saying you can go because I hate the plagues, then Paro's not coming to that recognition. Paro needs to come to the recognition, and he needs to say Hashem Atzadik Ani V'Ami Arashayim, you can go. That I'm wrong, you're right, and because I recognize that, you can go. If Paro is only letting them go because of duress, that's why I have this hesitation about the Baal Korchah. What's Vayechazek Hashem? That God gives Paro the strength to not let them go because he's saying uncle. Paro's like, I'm going to let them go because they're beating me. Vayechazek Hashem, no, that's not the reason why you're letting them go. You got to get back to zero. Okay, don't be because it's -10. You need to get to zero. When you get to zero, that's what the strength is for. You will come to the realization that it's the right thing to do. But if you're letting them go because you're being beaten down, then that's not good. So again, that's my problem with the Baal Korcha.
But maybe that didn't happen yet.
Okay, again, so what you're asking is why rabbis get a salary. I already told you that. Okay, that's there are many ways to look at it. So we're looking at this perspective this year.
Pasuk Hey really reads very well according to the Orach.
No, of course. Yep. Okay, so now. Let me see. I gave you two more paragraphs here. I just want to see because we're running out of time, and I want to get to the other stuff also. Hold on a second. I'm just gonna look. Look. This paragraph talks about the material wealth that Egypt is looking for. So we'll skip it. I want to go to the last paragraph here in Pasuk Hey, but it is important to recognize what the Gemara says about what took place at the Bizas Hayam was manifold. What they were able to take from the chariots and whatever the Egyptians took at the sea was a lot more than anything that they took out of Egypt itself proper. In all likelihood, they were able to supply the materials for the Mishkan from what they gathered at the sea. Okay, now Moshe had to force them away, and from the sea they go 3 days without water. They can't find water. Rather, it doesn't say there's no water. It says they can't find water. And I don't remember if I saw this or it was just an idea which I came up with just from everything else that I read. That when they go 3 days and they it says velo matzu mayim, they couldn't find water. Why? Because their eyes were so blurry over the fact that Moshe pulled them away from taking more of the Bizas Hayam. He said, guys, we got to go. And they're looking back at all the money they left behind and they're like, they couldn't see anything. You know, they're rolling their eyes, they're crying over what they lost. And so, yeah, there was water everywhere, but lo matzu mayim, they couldn't find it because their mind was so kerfuffled over what they lost at the time. All right, let's take a look at the last paragraph here on this pasuk. So it's the middle of the second paragraph on page 3. O yomar ki b'emesos amagid she'agid she'baruchu nisapech levav paro amash she'echriu, that when Paro heard that they had Again, it's another interpretation. When Paro heard that they had fled, his heart changed. Over this idea that he had been convinced that God could do everything. Okay, this is something which we saw last week, right? About the way that Egypt misunderstood what was going on here in terms of subterfuge, the way the trickery that they felt that Moshe was giving. We saw this, I think, in the plague of Arbe last week. This is a sign that God can't do everything because he had to do things through subterfuge. Emar Meata, b'mofes choteich ki lo yebochas v'shalom koach lo tziyam be'echleit v'utzrach l'gnevas das. How is God able to get them out of Egypt? Through trickery. V'digdega kasuv lomar levav. Lomar ki beiz levavos. What is the word lev? Lev is heart. What's levav?
Multiple.
Two hearts, okay? Two bases. Ki beiz levavos uchru b'davar. Ki gam shebetchila kodem shalach Yisrael ha'yachoshev machshav azo. Kein koach b'yado. That before Israel was sent out, he was already thinking that God does not have the strength to take them out. Right? Because he keeps on asking, can you let them go? Can you let them go? I mean, hey, really, God, if you can do everything, you know, end it. Make a hurricane, make a tornado, make an earthquake, end it, spare Israel, and that's it. What do you need permission for? But he had another thought process, which contradicted that one, saying, no, right? And then they said, you know what, maybe God only wants them to come out for a little bit. Right? Because, I mean, remember, what Moshe is going to say later on in the Torah. He says, Lama, Yomaru Mitzrayim Lemor Bira'o Tziyam La'arogo Sambarim. Right? We're all familiar with that. We read it on the fast day. That why should Egypt say that you took them out for a couple minutes just to wipe them out in the desert? Right? And maybe that's what Paro is taka thinking. That only one of them just to serve him, boom, then their God is happy, now we can wipe him out. So now, both of Paro's thought processes are coming together. That he's coming to another view. What is it? That basically Paro is convinced that, you know what, their God actually did not defeat us. We fell for the trickery, and that's why we're going to go back, chase them, and, you know, again, whatever the conclusion is, we don't know. We don't know what his actual plan was. So, look, it's a different viewpoint that the Or HaChaim is sharing here. And look, you know, if we walk away a little confused, that's fine. But I think that more than anything, we need to understand that what the Torah is showing us is, because you know, when we tend to learn this story earlier on, we look at Paro as very, I mean, I hate to say it, very superficial. We look at him as, you know, oh, he's stubborn. You think it wasn't more complicated than that? You think that Paro's not turning to his servants and to his magicians and saying, hey guys, let's figure this out. I mean, seriously, there's a lot at play here. You think that Paro didn't look at Moshe as like, you know, playing politics? Moshe comes in, Paro, here's a warning, you don't do it. All right, Moshe runs out angry. Okay, the current president, the previous president in negotiations, they've done this. Right, that's what you do. When you're upset, you're not getting your way, you run out. Oh, something happens? Okay, whatever. Everything could be explained as a natural phenomenon if you really, really wanted to do it. That's why Paro sends out messages. You know, I'm just curious. In the Makkah of Dever, were any animals owned by Jews hurt? None. Okay, all right. Well, how many animals owned by Egyptians were hurt? Well, only the ones that were in the field. Ah, so it's a plague on the outside. Any animals inside, you know, it doesn't really apply. Maybe the Jews all kept their animals inside. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, everything could be explained and justified if that's your bias, if that's the way you're thinking. Okay, next pasuk that I want to let's look at. Okay, so Hashmores HaBoker. So just in terms of the splitting of the sea, you should just know that the way that they always show it in the movies is not the way the Torah describes it. It's never the case that Moshe goes boom and the water goes boom. That's not the way, I mean, that's the way it is in the movies, but that's not the way it is in the Torah. The Torah describes Moshe going, perhaps spreading his arm, and then there's a wind. The wind blows all night. And in the morning, they discover that the sea is split. I kind of realized that because there is one movie that actually does it that way. It's the movie Moses, starring Ben Kingsley, which has the people sleeping at the sea while Moshe's standing there, and he's standing there all night. And they wake up in the morning to find that the wind has blown the sea and there's a passage. So that, honestly, is a lot more true to the text than the other versions you may have seen, like the Prince of Egypt, which, by the way, is amazing, the way that they do splitting the sea, but clearly not accurate. And the Cecil B. DeMille, which is, you know, a little dated, but it's a classic, right? Okay. Anyway, so what happens is, Egypt is now giving chase, and they're getting confounded by the fire, the cloud, etc., and they're confused. The wheels of the chariots fall off, and they're lost. Take a look what it says. Vayibash Moris Aboker. Tzarach Ladas Lama Asa Hashem Amishpar Agadol Azeb Aboker V'lo B'Layla Shuzman Tigboras Adinim. There's a concept that din is more strong during the nighttime. So why doesn't God just drown them in the nighttime? Reisi Shamru, again, this is the Yalkut, so you see from Reish Lamed Hey that it's the numbers in the Yalkut Shimoni which are going up. He got real tantan as Elifnei Hashem. Meshiva El Yon Hamtein Ados Hashash Paul Aviem Imi Shenemar Veishkem Avram Baboker Ad Kan. He says, what is the strongest connection between the Bnei Israel, or I should say this nation, and God? Avraham's time. What's Avraham's time? Hashmara Saboker, right? Early in the morning. Perush Chuvas Hashem Ki Agam She'enu Zman Hanekama Ani Mafech Aseder L'Bnei Avram. Right, the morning is not a good time for revenge. It's not proper. But I'm going to change the order of the world for the Bnei Avram. Shem Shavag Avram Tavo Arachaman. Right, Avram changed his own way to be merciful. Where did he demonstrate mercy?
Avram?
Most clearly, where did Moshe demonstrate? Avram demonstrate mercy. With Sodom, right? With Sodom. Okay, and what does it say? In the morning, he gets up after he had done this whole, and he's horrified by what he sees. Right, same thing with Yitzchak. I don't know what time it is with Yitzchak when they're actually on the mountain, but when he starts the Yitzchak story, it's Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Gam Kain Ani Shehafach Hazman. That it's this time period which is a merit for them following the model exemplified by Avram. So here God is watching out and he's taking care of himself. You don't have a malach. You don't, like in Sodom, what did you have? You had a malach. Okay? And in the morning, Avram vayashkef Avraham al pnei Sodom. Right, and now you have Ayashkef Hashem. So you see a textual parallel showing that there is a hint to Avram's experience. Why does Moshe need to do an action for the water to go back? Guess what water does if it just follows gravity? Right, natural order, it'll go back. And at the very end, when the last Jew comes out, right, the movies always have it that way, that the Egyptians are like, you know, they were two inches, like they were about to grab the ankle of the last Jew. Okay, it's just stupid. That's not what happens here. That's not the way the Torah describes it at all. Egypt is stuck in the mud, and Israel is gone. They're already in safety zone. So me'atzmi yeshiva yam, the sea will go back. Ulai, maybe ki me'hatam atzmo shneshar chaluk gam b'mekamos she'avrubo kfar Yisrael v'ayom etzrim b'om shama chash v'ayam ki ma'elu af elu. See, here's the difference. Remember, who is the one who goes through to do makas b'choros? Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf. Right? That it's because Hashem is the one who asher yafleh bein mitzrayim. God is the one who can make the distinction. If the sea has been told, stay, why? Because my people are going through, what does the sea know? The sea's God, the sea knows the difference between an Israelite and an Egyptian. He says, Shama chashavayam ki ma'elu afelu. What does the sea know? It's the same thing. Hashem gazar kein, kidei sheyichnasu kulon yachad l'toch hayam. That God is the one who did the gazar. What's gazar? A decree, but it also means gzeiras hayam, right? To split the sea, because God knows that Egypt all needs to go in there. Okay, there's a whole line of thinking about the fact that that it was put into the order of the world. That this is in the Midrash. I did not give it to you, but it's in the Midrash. And if you look at the Aruch Chaim on Pasuk Chaf Zayin, I didn't give it to you, but you can look. That he quotes this idea that Vayashav Hayam lefnos boker le'isano, that in the morning the sea returned to its, what's le'isano, to its way. So the Midrash says, l'tana'o rishon, to its original condition. What was its original condition? That at the time of the Briyas Ha'olam, the time when the world was created, God put it in the order that at this time, on this day, at this space, the sea is going to split in this way. There's going to be a wind, and it's going to happen. It's against the natural order, except it was put into the order of the universe in the way that it's going to be. Same thing about the sun standing still at the time of Yahushua's battle. That's not the natural order, unless you say that on that day, at that space, in that time, or whatever, the day is going to be a 27-hour day. What's the big deal? If God puts that into the condition, that's the condition. So that's Vayash Vayam. So, Zetziva Shalom Moshe, Lermoz Layam, I'm sorry, one second. So the whole point of the Exodus was to get Paro to be at the sea at that time. That's why the Exodus takes place when it does, because it was put into the condition and the order of the world that the sea is going to split. And if the punishment to Paro was that they're going to die in the sea, okay, but not just in the sea, it's why can't they all die in Egypt? You have Makas Bechoros, that knocks out the firstborns. Why can't all of Egypt die at that time? Because it needed to be a spectacle. What happens in Egypt stays in Egypt. What happens at the sea
stays.
You can see everywhere. And it's not only that. You look at the Psukim, it describes that the people of Canaan. Namogu kol yoshvei. Namogu kol yoshvei. Come on, what's the next word? Yoshvei Canaan. What's the yoshvei Canaan here? Because they're watching. They're seeing what's going on over here. Okay? V'tam zekilona dalayam v'lo hiracha rabo. The sea doesn't understand this. So Moshe's right there. The sea needs to see Moshe. No pun intended. And Moshe says, water, go back, because your job is over. Okay, that's the first point. Right, anything which has a group think, you need another group think in order to let it go. I love this. Right, what happens at the end of Matan Torah? At the end of, you know, the Revelation. Up until Revelation, husbands and wives, separate, please. Okay, Revelation's over. What's obvious? That moratorium is over. It's over. So everybody knows that, right? God left. The mountain cloud's gone, right? It's all over. And yet the people need to be told, folks, okay, you can go home now, right? It's all good now. You can, okay, so that's, when it's over, sometimes you need to make that announcement. We have this at the end of a talk. Every time there's a lecture here, somebody finishes the questions, and I, you know, it's an hour mark, and I say, we're done, okay? After the person finishes, people are still sitting there. Somebody has to say, thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Then everybody leaves, okay? Like, we all know it's over. The guy stops speaking. And yet, that's what needs to happen. Otam Anatia, another reason Moshe needs to wave his hand, if he says, Zula Zeh, Hagam Shoshuv Ayam, Yoshuv Lat Lat, Lutzada Yosu Tashkoch, Mayaish Tanos, Shavralov, Zeh Yochlo Limalek. The other reason why Moshe needs to say, hey, Yam, go back, is because the Yam needs to get back to it, right? It has to deregulate. That's not the right word. Okay, it took time, right? The wind came, da 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 da, slowly, then there's walls. So the Yam is going to say, you know what? It's like, okay, we're going to go back slowly, slowly, slowly. Maybe we can't handle going back, boom. And what's going to happen during that time? The Egyptians are going to say, wait a second. This is going, okay, this is not good. All right, guys, leave the chariots, leave the horses, and every man for himself, let's get out of here. Take off miyad. Boom! The sea has to go immediately. That's what I mentioned before. Okay, so that it had to go back very quickly. In other words, that since Moshe had struck it, Moshe needed to undo it. Okay, so in other words, we have a number of different viewpoints as to how we can explain the need for the sea to go back to the way that it was. Okay. All right. The other two topics which I wanted to look at were the mun. I'm going to skip that one, and I want to go to what takes place, which is that's on page 4. Okay? Again, like I always say, if you have the time to go through it, by all means go through it. I want to do the Masa Mariva story. Masa Mariva, okay, that's Rafidim, when they get to Rafidim, and there's no water. So let's take a look in the, we'll look in the Chumash. It's Perek Yitzayin, chapter 17. So it's the bottom of page 388. Okay? They travel, they camp in Rafidim. There's no water there. So the people, they kind of contend, right? They fought with Moshe. And they say, give us water, we'll drink. Why are you fighting with me? And why are you testing God? The people were thirsty. And so they complained to Moshe. And they said, in light of what we said earlier, who's the Am? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Anyway, so they complain. Right, so who are the people who are ye of little faith? Right, so the Archaim will say it's their rab, right? Okay. Right, the Am. Why would the Bnei Yisrael want to kill Moshe? Anyway, he says the Am wants to stone me. Go pass in front of the Am. Take the elders. By the way, that's another proof that Moshe struck the Yaor. What's the Yaor? This is not Yamsuf. The Yaor. What's the river? Moshe struck the river, turned it into blood. It wasn't Aaron. It's just, I mean, it's so clear in the Torah. But anyway, you're going to take it in your hand. So Moshe does it, and he gets the water out. And the people drink the water. So now I don't know how the Orachaim would answer that question. Al Riv B'nei Yisrael, when he said the Am, but okay, let's see what he says here. Orachaim, so we're on the page 5, okay? Vayachanu b'rifidim v'ein mayim. Pasuk Aleph. Vayachanu b'rifidim v'ein mayim. Divrayhem, ein rifidim ela rifyon yadayim min haTorah. Okay, what's going on in rifidim? The people are saying there's no water. What's water? Water is Torah. So he's saying that now obviously the people don't have the Torah yet, technically speaking, but they have whatever they learned in Mara, which took place prior to this. And we do know Sham Samlo, Chokum Mishpat Sham Nisahu, okay, that there was an episode there. So what they did is they removed their hands from Torah. Chavena Kasul Damar Kish Rafu Yudehem in a Torah Shanim Shalomayim Uzeg Gam Hashem Anam Emamayim Mida Kenega Mida. Right, that they somehow neglected the Torah. Right, what happened immediately before this? Just as a reminder, the Mun story. And what happens in the Mun? That's the other part that I was going to show you, but I skipped it. That they're not keeping Shabbos. They're not listening to the mitzvahs about the Mun. They're leaving it over until the morning. Right? They're not following God's rules. So the fact that happened, this is a Mida Kenega Mida. Right? They neglected Torah, which is Mayim, so they actually lose Mayim. Vayarvam. Perish Vamarivahu. Sha'amru lam b'derach zeh tunul lanu mayim. Right, what's the fight? That they say, give us water. Chimosha yesh l'mayim l'seh islam. Ain't zeh l'mariva. Moshe's going to open up his Costco and start giving out the water bottles. El'mariva. Ain't zeh el'mariva. So they're fighting. Shema yisuk havan asam l'shol. Ki tzak el Hashem. Ayelam l'mar. K'derach shen dirburei love. Kisha shalach Hashem b'ahem. Nechashim strafim. Right, if they want him to cry to God, let them say that. Oh, instead they're just complaining. Oh, Efshar, Shayu Tovim Mamayim, Kimisha Tavea, Chob Mechaber. Or they're like, no, give. You owe me. Magieli. V'omer lo, ten li masha tachayavli. You owe me. V'omer lo, Shan Rabin, V'divrehem and Moshe Levan. And it says that they're speaking in plural. Tenu lanu mayim. It's tenu. Who are they talking to? Mm-hmm. When they're talking to Moshe. So they included God. Mm-hmm. So Moshe says, okay, if you're saying tenu, you're talking to me and you're talking to the boss. So hold on a second. Rather, they're testing to see if God, they know that God can do everything, but they're testing to see if he's there. So we have a question. Hey, listen. To complain that there's no water is a legitimate complaint. You're in the desert. Okay? If there's no water and you're thirsty, It's totally reasonable. You have children, right? You're adults. We all know you can't survive in the desert for too long without water. So why would God test them with thirst? So he says, if you actually think that kind of question, you're really a kofir. Why? God's not going to do that. God's not going to do that. I heard a class given by Rabbi Bravender on YU Torah about Miriam as well. It was, you know, it's Rabbi Bravender's very unique style, so it was great. But he asks the question. He says, you know, Miriam died and the well left. So the people come to Moshe and they say, no, where's the water? Do you think, right, this is Rabbi Bravender's question. He said, do you think that God is going to leave the people in the desert without water? You're insane. Mm-hmm. What's the whole point of all this? And the Aruch Chaim is asking the same question. He was chaving to Rabbi Bravender. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Okay? Oh, Moshe, and there's also a question on Moshe. Why is Moshe caving to this and saying, oh, they're going to kill me? Like, we know they're thirsty. Moshe, why do you have to turn to God and say, oh, they're going to kill me? Moshe, and you're also in the wrong here. Okay, I want to, you know, I paint the picture of the humanity because it's important to not lose sight of what the people are going through. It's very easy for us in 2020 hindsight to say, what's wrong with these people? Like, do they not have emunah? What would we do if we were in that case? Mm-hmm. Even Moshe.
They already went through, here they come to the sea, and they're going, you know, it's the same thing. You know, would Hashem just leave them there?
Okay, so it's easy for us with 2020 hindsight to say, guys, have a little bit of emunah, okay? Right, so that's an important disclaimer that we have to make when trying to understand this. But look what he says. Mm-hmm. Venira, because this I think is a very important and powerful lesson about what it means to have emunah. Ki Hashem nisau sam, God tested them l'hadricham, to guide them. To raise their eyes and to pray to God. That they need to be able to do this. The fact of the matter is, instead of turning to God themselves, which is what the B'nai Israel are supposed to do, what do? They came complaining to Moshe. You see how smart God was. He didn't give them a supply of mun for 30 days. He says, you need today, I'll give you today. Tomorrow, you got to pray again. They need to know that you turn to God. By the way, I believe it's the Netziv whose interpretation of the Meimariva story in Parshas Chukas, it's fascinating. He said that the whole purpose of the Meimariva story was for the people. Moshe is going to die. We know he's going to die. Moshe's not dying because of Meimariva. Moshe was going to die. We knew this already. What is the purpose of Meimariva? The people need to see how to survive when you don't have water. We know how it happens in Israel. It happens even today. Sometimes there's no water. Sometimes there's a drought. What do you do when you don't have water? You're supposed to turn to the boss. Supposed to turn to God. And that's what Netziv says, that's the whole Meimariva story is all about. Moshe was trying to teach the people, hey guys, when you don't have water, what do? He was supposed to teach people. You turn to God. They didn't do that. And that's the point that the Aruch Chaim is making over here. In place of turning to God, they're fighting with Moshe. When they're really thirsty, they're complaining. That's why it says the way it happens. They're thirsty, they complain. Right? They're thirsty, what should happen? They should turn to God. They complain. They didn't cry out to God. They're testing God. They don't believe that God is with them. They were not trusting in God's intervention. And this is the message that God's trying to tell them. You gotta cry out and you have to remove this evil thought that you need to have, that it's because of your thirst. You need to pray to God daily. Right, Moshe saw this, and he didn't immediately pray to God, because he wanted them to do that. And when he saw how much they were suffering, he said, what should I do for them? I don't want them to complain to me. I want them to turn to you. Moshe knew that his prayer was not sufficient here. The people needed to get a shock. They needed to get the lesson. And were it the case that Moshe would not be answered, he would just daven more. And that would solve a problem, but it wouldn't solve the under. What?
They have the Shekhinah traveling with them.
Yeah, of course.
The cloud and the fire at night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like a repeat behavior.
Right, they're just going to give up, and they're going to stone me. So Moshe is saying, look, in the meantime, this is not going to, you have to do something different because they're not getting the message. And so finally that was heard. She says, let's ask the elephant in the room question. They saw everything. How could they not see that they should cry out to God? They know what crying out to God, right? It happened in Bereishis. And what happens next? Moshe shows up. Maybe they said, you know what? We don't need God. We don't need to pray to God because God's here. Right? God took us here. Of course he's going to be providing. God will provide. Right? Like the father-in-law joke. Right? Because if God doesn't provide, we'll be lost. And so we don't need daven. If things aren't happening, it's because God's not with us. And that's the way that they test, because they say, we don't believe God is with us. So what's the Or HaChaim saying? What's the key to your survival? Emuna, tchilat sof. You never say, oh, it's good, we can coast from now on. And that is the problem here, because people said, oh, God did everything for us, so we can coast from now on. Nope. Gotta maintain the connection. What an amazingly powerful message from the Or HaChaim. Shkoyach.